Praise God. Praise God. I love the story of Gideon. Well, the story today is the Gideons that are going out with the sword of the Lord. The sword of the Lord. That's what they're still doing today. The sword of the Lord and Gideon. And when we read together today about Gideon, we are going to enjoy very much what the book of Judges has to tell us. I believe you'll find that in Judges 7. That'll be a good read. So why don't you go ahead and find that? And that, I'm going to be instead of reading so much, I'm going to be telling you the story. But feel free to double check on me and make sure I'm getting it right. That'd be good. There it is, Judges. Yeah, some great stories. And you know, first we got to pray. Pray, and I love that, Lord. Prayed before about this. We've been talking about this, like those clay pots with the torch inside. Pray, God, that you would break me and use me, that your light would shine out in my brokenness. I want that so much. That the enemy would not see me, but they would see you shining out of me. That we who stand together as brothers and sisters in Christ in battle, that we would be bright shining and we would strike fear in the enemy for what you are doing. Lord God, open your word to our understanding and open our hearts to receive it, and that we will live it out, because what good is it if it just sits within us dormant? It needs to produce and bear fruit and be effectual, as your word always is, and we thank you for that in Jesus' wonderful name. We all said, amen. Gideon's army. I love these stories about their military, prowess, I guess, their strategy. It's ridiculous. Some of these strategies of battle. I think of, the Jericho story and Joshua, and God says, here's how you're going to do this. And he tells Joshua what to do, and then Joshua goes out and says to their army and the priests, and says, "Okay, this is what God told me to do. We're going to take trumpets, and we're going to march around Jericho, and we're going to blast the trumpets, and then we're going to go home." What? That's a battle? Oh yeah, no, this is what God wants us to do. We're going to march around Jericho, right around the whole city, with our trumpets. And then, we're going to go home. Okay, if you say so, Josh. Sounds kind of goofy. No, we're going to do that. And they did that. And then the second day, okay, now all the priests in the army go, okay, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to march around Jericho. We're going to blast the trumpets. And then we're going to go home. Really? New leader! We should get a new leader! No, this is going to work. Really, God told me that he's going to give us Jericho. In fact, God says, have I not given it to you? Behold, you haven't actually yet, God. But no, I'm telling you, in the future, it's going to happen. But this is what you do. Third day, it's like a huddle. It's like a powerful football team getting all, okay, what are we going to do? We got a big army. We got a defeat over there on big walls. I mean, how are we going to do this? We're going to march around. You're going to love this. We're going to blow the trumpet, and then we're going to go home. 6 days they do this. Really? I'm sure by day six, the army's going, I know. We're marching around. We're going to blow a trumpet. We're going to go home. Yeah. It's going to be awesome. Seventh day. Okay. New plan. We're going to march around seven times, blowing trumpets. Oh, that's kind of like before. No. It's going to be different. It's going to be awesome. And then as we go around the seventh time, we're going to shout. We're going to shout praises to our God. We're going to give glory to God. No, we're going to do this. This is a faith builders, boys. We're going to do this because God said to do this. And by faith, we're going to do this because God said he's giving us Jericho. Let's do it. And they marched around those six times, blowing their trumpets. And on the seventh time they marched around, they shouted. And you know how the story went. That is the most ridiculous strategy you'll ever hear of. But that's the way God did it. And you know why? It was a faith builder. It wasn't a brawn builder. It wasn't going to, I'm going to make a mighty army of you. We're all going to go into training. We're going to do a lot of crunches and push-ups and sit-ups and weights. And I'm going to teach you how to handle a sword like nobody else, and you will just be awesome. No, he said instead, I'm doing this. The trumpet is proclaiming God. In fact, they took the ark before them, and the trumpets and the ark and the soldiers and the priests proclaiming God. And then they worshiped as they praised God, and they shouted hallelujah. And the walls came down. That's a faith builder. That is the craziest strategy I ever heard of. But it worked because God. Now we take a look at Gideon's army. Now Gideon is called by God. Now he calls forth the people of his tribe, and he has 32,000. Not bad. 32,000 men. We could do this. Ooh. Oh, wait. We read in Judges 7, they have 120,000 swordmen. Just the swordmen. 120,000 to our 34. I'm no strategist, but I'm thinking that's 4-to-1 odds. 4-to-1 odds, Lord. That doesn't sound great. God goes, yeah, you know, right. 4-to-1, that's not good. That's not good at all. Here's a thought. Let's get rid of some of them. We have too many. It's just, you know, this isn't going to work. So why don't we send some of them home? Anybody that's afraid, go home. Show of hands. Yeah, I'll tell you what. And a whole bunch of them went home. 22,000 of that 32,000 went home because they were afraid. You know why God sent them home? Because fear is the enemy of faith. Fear not, for I am God. That's what he's saying here. Fear not. Faith is a fear buster. 10,000. Gideon's going, what is this now? 12 to 1. 12 to 1. 12 to 1. Lord, okay. Why are you doing this, Lord? Well, because Israel might claim the victory was theirs. The people would say, we did this. Aren't we something? God says, not so much. You're my people. I'm something, and so you are something as you are my people. God says, I have to further reduce this army. So sends them down to the waters and says, look, they're going to drink two different ways. Some will lift the water up. Others will, like a dog, go right down into the water and drink it. And, okay, well, let's do it like that. Well, 9,700 did it one way. 300 did it the other. I think Gideon's going, well, okay, I've still got 9,700. I'm going to be all right. The Lord says, no, I'm sending them home. I'm leaving you with 300. Really? 300. Did the math. It is 400 to 1. 400 to 1. Now, come on. Can a man do that? No. 400 to 1, that's impossible odds. Yes. Now you're getting it, Gideon. It is impossible, and no man can do this. You will not take the glory for this victory, but the victory is ahead. For I have given them unto you. In fact, we read in Judges 7:7, the Lord said to Gideon, I will deliver you with 300 men who laughed, and I will give the Midianites into your hands, so let all the people go, each man to his home. All those others that lifted the water up, they're gone. All those that were afraid, they're gone. 300. Have you ever considered their weapons in the story of Gideon? I mean, this is already as outrageous a strategy as you're ever going to hear. Odds 400 to 1. And these are not military-tested men. These are not warriors. These are just men. Israelites, who up till then were very good at grumbling and complaining, whining. 300 men. And God said, these are your weapons. Torches, pitchers, and trumpets. Oh, I've heard of this kind of battle. Sort of reminds me of Jericho all over again, but kind of even more whack. Well, you're talking about torches, pitchers, and trumpets, Lord. Three things. These are the WMDs that God used, right? Weapons of mass destruction. I mean, you're going to wipe out 120,000 in a day. That would be a weapon of mass destruction. WMDs. Weapons of Midianite destruction. It sure is so. It is so. This is very cool. Just clay pots, cracked pots, jars, earthen vessels. Do you know we are described as clay pots that carry precious treasure? That's what we are. God says, yeah, I got that. Clay pots. That's who you are. This is not only symbolic, but this is a powerful faith lesson we're seeing here. These weapons are crazy, but they are important. He didn't just go, okay, what do you got? What do you got? That clay pot might work. Oh, and that trumpet, that's awesome. Oh, anybody got a torch? Let's take those, okay? I mean, it could have been any three things. No, these were very specific, important, symbolic. Awesome. But that's for another day. Context. The background of this story is that 7 years the Midianites had oppressed the people of Israel. 7 years they had just beaten them down because of Israel's rebellious, depraved state. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon in Judges 6:12. You can find that. And this angel, this awesome angel, not a cute little cherub, not what we describe or imagine, you know, and all the depictions, little angels, precious and cute and frilly and white and halo-y and like that. Mighty angel. Very cool. This mighty angel appears before Gideon, says, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. Who, me? I mean, first off, wow, angel. Second off, you got the wrong guy. Gideon. He says so in so many words. He says, no, bad choice, angel. I'm pretty sure you got this wrong. In fact, I am the least in my family, and our family is the least of our tribe, and our tribe is the least of all of Israel. You got the wrong guy. Actually, the angel goes, I totally got it right. That's how we're going to do it. I picked the least likely to take glory for himself, because you and I both know you can't do this. Excellent. This gives me hope. I must be able to do something for God because God picks the least likely. Yay, us. All of us least likely. We have hope. Do you ever feel least likely? You know, maybe at high school, at graduation, you were voted least likely. Well, excellent. That's good news because God could use you. Least likely. Most likely he can, though. Most likely. Absolutely he can. God can use all of us. Now, Gideon says, you've got it wrong. But this wonderful, wonderful angel, who, this is a theophany, by the way. This is an Old Testament appearing of Jesus. This is what we believe here. This happens again and again because this angel actually receives worship. And that means this is Jesus. This is very cool because angels will not accept worship, but Jesus certainly will because he alone is worthy. Our God is alone worthy. So we see that here is another instance of that because the Lord is before you. The Lord is our Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Gideon says, I can't do this, but the Lord, our Maker, says otherwise. Here's the thing. If you're not sure what something was created for, ask the Creator. Doesn't that make sense? Now, if you look at a gadget and you have no clue, well, it's a thingamajig, for sure, or a whatchamacallit, or something along those lines, but I'm not exactly sure what it does. You know, what is it? I know. We'll ask the guy who made it. We'll ask the creator of it. Well, that goes for you and me too. Ask the creator. Perfect. God, our maker. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. Hallelujah. That's what we've been doing today. Before the Lord, our maker. Now, here's the thing, and I love this. This is beyond simple. It's just glorious, and so I like it. In its simplicity, it spoke to me. This was at our pastor's meetings this past week, and one of our speakers described it like this. So go back to the beginning. If you want to know about what our purpose is, you go back to the Creator. So let's go right back to the beginning of all of this. Go back to Genesis, the Genesis of man. It's the Genesis of the Bible. Let's read in the beginning. God. There you go. In the beginning, God. That's simple enough. What's he doing? In the beginning, God created. Excellent. Excellent. So you know he's God. He existed before anything and always has and always will. He's eternal God and creator God. And in the beginning, the creator, the Lord, our maker, he was creating. In the 6 days of creation, he created everything. All things hast thou created. Hallelujah. And on the sixth day, I'd like to think he saved the best for last. He created man. Excellent. God is creator. God creates man. And he did save the best for last. And the ladies will say amen to this, because after that, he created woman. God's last and best creation. Amen, ladies? Amen, men? No, really, guys. Seriously, think about it. Amen, fellas? Amen. Oh, man, that's just... Women, pinch them. Absolutely. I'm telling you, this is important stuff. God, creator, creates man, woman. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you. And then not too long after that, actually, just a couple chapters later, we've got the enemy. Satan appears on the scene. He's at this end of the story. Satan comes to man. Says, has God really said you cannot eat of any of the fruit of the garden? And Eve says, no, not so. Says, any but accept that one or you shall die. Don't even touch it, you shall die. And Satan says, oh, no. See, here's the thing. God's afraid. God's misleading. God's withholding. Whatever you want to think. But look, if you eat of this, you will be like God. Satan's saying, man, if you do this, you are creator. If you create, you are God. No need for him anymore. You see how that works? And we have believed that lie, in a matter of speaking, ever since. Because we believe what we do becomes who we are. In fact, hey, what do you do for a living? Is who you are. Isn't that what we often say? We meet a man, we go, hey, what do you do? What do you do? What do I do? I'm this. Well, that's you. That's awesome. And if you're not doing that, you're no longer that. So you have no identity. That's what happens when a man gets laid off from work or something. It's just crushing because I don't do that anymore. What I do is who I am. Not so. God says, I created you. I know what you do. I made you to do something. Every one of us has a purpose. Everything created has a purpose. The Creator knows what we do. You go back to him and say, all right, I'm one of those thingamajigs. Maybe a whatchamacallit. What do I do? Awesome question. Really good question. We do out of who we are. Truly, truly, God has created us for His pleasure. I want to know what pleases God. I want to know what will please God in my doing. That sounds so good to me. I want to begin by giving God praise. That's what we were created for His great pleasure. We praise You, God. Hallelujah. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they were created. Remember the old chorus? Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor. Do you know it? Glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created, hast all things created. Thou hast created all things. And for Thy pleasure they are created. Thou art worthy, O Lord. If you want to know the function of your creation, ask the Creator. You are created for God's pleasure. Satan would have you believe something else. Satan lies to us and suggests that what we do dictates who we are. Remember, God, in the beginning, creates because He's Creator. God creates everything. God creates man in His image. We are His creation. But Satan would have you believe the exact opposite. In the beginning, man. Man creates. Man is creator. Man creates himself. Thus, he is like God. Man is God. No need for God. Thus, you are self-made. Not so. We are God-made. Satan would have you believe what you do determines who you are. But God says, I created you, and I have determined what you are to do. Ask your Creator. As I said, the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Not me. Gideon answers, "You got the wrong one. I've never done anything valiant because what I do becomes who I am. You can't be suggesting me, angel of the Lord. I am not a valiant man." And the Lord says, "Yeah, you are. Actually, you are. I created you to be a valiant man, so be a valiant man. Start being what I created you to be." Awesome. It turns out we were created better than we estimate ourselves to be. If God wants you valiant, you certainly should be valiant. If God wants you courageous, be courageous. God wants you self-sacrificing, be self-sacrificing. This is what God says. Gideon says, "But Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. What possible good can I do?" But the Lord says to him in verse 16, "Surely I will. Surely I will." That's an important statement. God says, "I will. God will fight for us." God says He will do it. He will do it. Just get on with it. What a glorious thought. What a wonderful thing. The first thing Gideon does, ladies and gentlemen, I wish I had more time. First thing he does, God says to him, "Now, here's what you do. Go down, go up to that high place. Your father and his buds have been worshiping the wrong god. They've got an idol. You've got to tear it down. Go up there, tear down that altar to Baal and that Ashtaroth, which is like a totem pole, if you will. This symbol of Baal, this is it. And you go and tear it down. Now, Gideon's still not quite there yet. He's not feeling all that valiant nor courageous. Okay. This is clearly a faith-building exercise. But okay, I'll do it. I'm not really sure, but all right, I'll do it at night. I'll just get 10 of my friends, and we're going to go there at night. We'll do that. And they did that. They went and they tore down that altar, and they used the busted up altar as firewood for an offering to God. He took one of his father's rams, Dodge, and he burned it up because that's what they're good for. And he actually took two. And he took these two rams and he built this fire out of the altar to Baal and knocked down that Ashtoreth and built a nice, new, awesome altar to God. Now, there's something in that. See, I think because we believe a lie of what we do becomes who we are, these are old lies. These are old things. This is stuff we have come to believe from years and years and through our ancestry. See, I think even we believe who we are based on what our parents do. What they did. See, I won't amount to much because my dad didn't amount to much. And my dad was such and such, and so am I. You know, I don't know. I come from a messed up background and history, so how can I possibly be any good at all? What good am I? God's saying, let's just start there. Let's go tear that down and burn it up. And let's replace it with something good. In fact, let's use that lie, let's use that garbage, let's use all of that, and let's burn it up and let's offer something new and true to God in our worship. Let's just praise God because, you know, yeah, I do come from a messed up past, and so do you, and so do all of us. And we have to understand now, our parents did the best they could with what they had and what they knew. But God's saying, I got something way better. I got truth for you. Let me tell you who you are in Christ. So let's start there. Let's tear that down. Wonderful idea. And then the next morning, now all the bigwigs of the community come to Joash, I believe, his father, Joash, and said, okay, what happened here? Who did this? Who knocked down our awesome totem and our altar and burnt it up? And there seems to be a ram on that fire. What's up with that, Joash? Well, turns out they find out it's his son. They said, bring him to us that we would kill him. And Joash's dad says, well, really? Do you think you have to fight our God's battle, our Baal? What instead, why don't we just let Baal fight his own battle? What a great idea. Let's let the enemy fight his own battle. We're not going to fight for him anymore. We're not going to hold up his lies anymore. We're going to start saying, no, that is not true. That is not true. And in fact, Dad, man, he really got it. I just love how Joash got it. The father said in verse 31, will you contend for Baal? Or will you deliver him? Or thank goodness that you're there to stand him back up again. And let's put some sticks to hold him and prop him up. And maybe we should guard him so that, you know, nothing happens to our feeble God anymore. If he is a God, let him contend for himself. There's a difference, you see. God says, I will. With this feeble God, he can't. Lies can't hold up. They don't stand up, but they burn up. Thank you, Lord. It's such a twist here. See, God is creator. We are created. But in this situation, we had man as creator and God as created. They had built themselves a God, said, isn't he awesome? He's so good. We made him, you know. We made our God. He's really an awesome God. Look how cool. He's tall, too. Isn't he tall? And he's got this thing going on. And he's, look at those faces. Actually, I used that. That's my face. That's so cool. Yeah. And the other guy that helped me build it, that's his face. Wacky cool. Yeah. And we built him. And we made this altar, too. Actually, the boys and I on the weekend, you know, our men's group got together and we built him. Ta-da! God! Awesome. Lousy God. really lousy God. You know what? And maybe the gods in our lives are lousy gods. The things that we think will take care of us. Maybe our bank accounts will take care of us. Maybe our property will take care of us. Maybe our friends will take care of us. Maybe we ourselves are so awesome that we're God and we can take care of us. And God's saying, no, you've got to get it figured out. You are not God. You are not creator. You were created. You were created with a purpose. I'm the only one that knows your purpose. I am God, and I don't like it that you got it backwards. It's not good for you. It's not good. It's just not good. You are a clay pot. But the thing about you clay pots is that we can put a torch in you. You know what the torch is? That's the light. Who's the light? Jesus Christ is the light. Behold, he is the light of the world. Amen? This is our Lord. He is the light of the world. This makes perfect sense to me. Great. So knock down those idols, tip over that Asherah, get rid of that altar. Praise God. Put the fire in that clay pot and then break it. What? Break it. But you said, I'm the clay pot. I'm the earthen vessel. Yeah. You see, if you're not broken, if you are a perfect little clay pot, shiny and round, and put the lid on it, what's it do? Well, you know what happens when there's no oxygen for that light? Or even if there is enough air getting in, you do that, you close it off in a dark place. Can you see anything? Not much, not hardly anything at all. Maybe a little light escapes. God's, now, but if you smash it, if you break that pot, the light will shine. Oh, it'll shine. That's something. See, that's how we diminish and he increases. Less of me, more of you. How excellent is that? But he is the potter, and we are the clay. I love that picture. He is the potter, and we are the clay. Hallelujah. I have something to say about that. I just think we're running out of time. It's just a terrible thing to run out of time. Here it is, Jeremiah. The word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah from the Lord God, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will announce my words to you. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something on a wheel. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter, so he remade it into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make. I think it's when we are broken. See, our sinful state, we are broken people. And God says, I want to break you and remake you. That's where we are. And he wants to get all the glory for it. He does not want us to think that we were so awesome. God is awesome. He's awesome God. We've got to be broken, be humble, realize that it is not in our strength that any of this happens. But God says, rise up, O valiant warrior. Have I not given it unto you? God's word says we are more than victorious in Jesus. Not some of us. Not just a handful. Not even 300. All of us. All who call Christ our Lord are more than conquerors. We are overcomers. And unto us is given heaven. Wow. That's who you are. That is the most important thing. Satan would have you believe you are worthless. Or you are awesome. Neither are true. Satan would tell you you're a loser or you're superior to everyone else. Satan might tell you you deserve to suffer or that you are entitled. Again, not so. Satan may tell you you will never amount to anything. He may say you will never get ahead. He may say you are unlovable. And in fact, maybe he'll say you're a waste of space. You get the point. But here's the truth. You are created. You are created in God's image. Wow. Stop right there. We are created in God's image. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are precious in His sight. God loves you with an indestructible, unchangeable, immeasurable love. God wants you to receive Him. And He has made a way for you through Jesus Christ. And so you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. He is King. We must be princes and princesses. You are joint heirs with Jesus. Joint heirs. Not we get a little, He gets a lot. We are joint heirs with Jesus. That's just, Pastor Andrew, that is, okay, that's what that is. You are a royal priesthood. You are the bride of Christ. You are peculiar people. That's what it says. And some of you are more peculiar than others. See, what you do does not determine this. It's what Jesus did. It's what God did. He did it all. God says, who you are determines what you do. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we're all of that and more because of you. As unworthy, as undeserving, as as corrupt and sin-filled as our past is, it does not dictate our futures. On the contrary, we offer it as an offering to you. We burn it up and we just thank you, Lord, that as it is burned up, it is gone. We do not go back to that altar again. We do not say that is who we are. Rather, we come to your altar. Just as Gideon carefully built it, as you told him to, so we ought to bring our worship to your altar, to come into your presence, into your throne room. Oh, thank you, Lord. And we do so with boldness. You say, rise up, valiant warrior. Okay, we do. And we will not let the enemy of our faith get in the way. But Lord God, let your light shine out of us, we cracked and broken pots. Build us into what you would have us to be, and help us to live out the purpose you have for us. You are Creator. We are created, and we thank you for that. I pray, God, that what we have heard here today resonates. In fact, it chases us around all week long, that you remind us again and again, point after point, of what we've heard and experienced here today. This is not a sermon we can forget. Please, we have to remember that you are doing it. We give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' wonderful name, we all said, amen, amen. If Betty would come back and help me, I'd sure like us to sing.